welcome, friends, to another week of the Hour of Truth. I have Philip Althall here.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm Paul Muller, and we're off. Way off, I know. don't even think to stop saying it. It's not going to work. I catching little bits and pieces of Steve amongst the stuff going on around here. You know, and he said an interesting thing to grab my attention out of Romans 12. I've never really thought about it like that initially, but he was talking about reasonable service, a living sacrifice.
Well-pleasing.
What, you know, part of this is really unclear when you understand this body is dead and hid in Christ, but you're still walking around with it. It's still your interface to the world around you. It's just that you're trying to rule it in the spirit and not have it rule you. It's a living sacrifice. You're having to mortify its deeds, mortify its desires, and rule over it the whole time you're here in it. And that's a living sacrifice. Never thought of it like that before. I don't know why, but never did. And that was one of those ding, 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 ding minutes, moments. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's when he's more important to you than satisfying the flesh. And the overwhelming need of flesh to justify itself. So, when you're there, you understand there is no justification. It's Jesus Christ. That's all there is. Be not conformed. This is my thing. When this is going on, you be not conformed to this world as if you're being ruled in the flesh, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you can be equipped in that is to put on Jesus Christ. Because your flesh is not going to seek to do that in any way, shape, or form. But you have hope, praise be to God. And that Jesus Christ and the putting on of that. How do you do that? Well, he's given us all these examples, you know, and Steve was talking again and of all the witnesses about be followers of me, you know, that which in Philippians, that which you have seen and heard of us, that do, you know, that's, I don't even think of an example he gave, but that's, A definite example. And I didn't quote the entire thing. I know I left some of it out. But the point of it got across. If I was going to sit here and just throw out verses, I'd be doing this all day. Let's see. And I meant to kill that thing there. Because it's really loud.
It is. That's better.
Let's see. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Just, that's the whole point here. If you want to do the things I'm doing, if you want to know the things I know, if you want the God of peace to be with you the same way he's with me, watch the things I do, hear the things I say, and do the things I do to that that you've seen and heard and seen it work in me, so do. So that the God of peace can be with you. That's a great promise. It's how you become a partaker of what Peter was talking about, the divine nature. He's good to us, and there's no need for us to walk around feeling like we're second class citizens in the kingdom, because we are given everyone a measure of faith. And I used to think that meant a little insignificant sliver of faith. What it means is proportional. Everybody's got the same proportional unit. It's not one's got more than the other. The question is, what are you going to spend it on? What are you going to spend it on? That's what matters. And
that's why a lot of people have a hard time putting their faith in Jesus Christ, is because with that measure of faith that was given unto them, their whole lives they've been putting that measure of faith in everything else but God. And it has fell down around them.
Yeah, what am I hearing?
What you're hearing is these headphones repeating back everything we say.
They're not supposed to be listening to that. They're supposed to be...
But when we turn...
They're not supposed to be picking up our mic. They're supposed to be sending us... I know what's the matter. That's the matter. Now, there. I don't know if they were hearing an echo. I was hearing an echo.
Yeah, it was coming through my headphones. So, the point is, but then it's an amazing thing when you put your faith in God, what He is able then to do. It's an amazing thing. And you start to get that experience that the Lord made you, because
I started today. And perhaps where you started as well. You know, Jesus is, curses a fig tree, and Peter wants to talk about that a little bit because he's amazed. And, I'm glad you weren't hearing one. That's a praise God. In my clumsiness, I had actually secured that it didn't happen. but it was starting to become an annoyance here, so I killed the source. And that's a praise God. The Lord was covering me a little bit.
A little bit?
Well, He was covering that little bit that wasn't there. and a little bit, yeah, okay, a bigger little bit that wasn't there.
I'm having fun. Please forgive me. I probably ought not.
Peter was interested in... Hey man, look it up. Look what happened to that tree. And Jesus' response to him was, have faith in God.
Amen.
You got your faith scattered in all these other places, man. Bring it back here and watch it open up the kingdom to you.
Amen.
It delivers to you to be able to do the works of God. How sweet is that?
I remember, absolutely. And I remember doing a Bible study one time, and it was, and I believe it was in one of the Gospels, and where the storm was rising up, and he's sleeping in the bow, and there was a great storm on the sea, and they were in the boat. And, wake up the master, we're going to die, you know. And he says the question, he asked him, where is your faith? Is what he asked all the disciples and the people that were on the boat at that time. And I remember bringing out that point. Where do we put our faith?
Oh, ye little thing.
Yeah. He says, where is your faith? And when I remember reading that, and before we talked about it, and I remember reading that, and it was like the Lord asking me that when I was reading it, like directing towards me, you know, where do I put my faith? Where do I put my trust?
Right.
And it was one of those just, hello, McFly, kind of things. You know, I mean, we put them in all other things that fail us and let us down. But let's put it in the one that doesn't fail us or let us down.
Wasn't that
Jesus Christ.
Where he says, we're going to the other side.
Yes, that is the one where he says, we're going to the other side.
Jesus just said, we're going to the other side. But what's the problem?
Yeah.
If these things...
Just like Abraham, yeah. Through thy seed Isaac shall be called. Oh man, I hate messing it up. But and then he believed that the promise was through Isaac, that he'd have to raise him from the dead. Go and offer thy son up, Isaac. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
And in that place, he obeyed. And you know, that really comes where the rubber meets the road for us, is because we can say we believe God till we're blue in the face. But until we believe Him to the point of obeying Him, we're not really practicing it.
Until it turns into action, until you believe Him to do.
Right.
Then you're not proving what is the acceptable will of the Lord.
Amen.
The perfect will of the Lord, I mean. And you're like everybody else who calls himself a Christian, who may have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Which, you know, Paul tells Timothy that, you know, in the last days many shall come. And that one of the attributes is they have a form of godliness. But any of the stuff that separates them from the rest of everybody else is, and identifies them as gods, they don't have that. They don't do, they can't do his works. They contrive doctrines to explain why they can't do the works. And wrap it all up in a neat little bow. And mislead the masses. Because they don't walk into power and belief in the ability of God to deliver to us to be a partaker of the divine nature. And they can't evidence it in their lives. They don't want you doing it either.
And really, that's the working of Satan. What does he want to do? Come
to
steal?
Separate the Pharisees from Jesus. They saw he could do the works of God, and they couldn't. And they said, boy, we're going to lose our power and position if we can't keep this thing here going. They knew who he was, and yet always were trying to get him and the people to agree with them against him. And it finally happened, and that's when he laid his life down.
And that's the working of Satan there. When people partake in that, they're actually partaking in the working of Satan, because that's part of what Satan wants to do, is to kill, steal, and destroy and take the power out of the church.
That's, you know, why... Who's with
you,
me,
know,
against
make,
me?
Right. I mean, where they're making up doctrines, the reason why we can't walk in the power of God anymore, the reason why we can't walk as Jesus walked. They're making all these doctrines, though, this time has passed, the ages of the apostles have passed, and all these things. And that's just disarming, the church.
That puts a red line through a whole bunch of the truth that we're not going to receive as truth anymore, and we're not going to teach it as truth. And so you get a distorted understanding of the relationship between you and God, between you and the line of authority, and between God and what he's expecting of you. It's a corrupt gospel.
It's deception. It's deception, and that deception stems from people that want to point people to themselves.
Yeah.
And if you look, I mean, that, like you said, the same thing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees weren't pointing to the one that the Father has sent. They were pointing were wanting to point people to themselves. Definition. They didn't want to lose their place in the nation.
Definition of a false prophet, right? False prophet and prophet whose word doesn't come true. False prophet, one who's pointing not to God, to the gospel, to the Lord, but one is pointing, to themselves or to the enemy. Either way.
Yeah.
But it's all about them or it's, just an outright contradiction of God's word. But it comes true, nonetheless, or everybody just laughs at them. Right. So the fact is that one's true and one isn't. They're both true. That's not the test. It'd be impossible to be deceived if their word didn't come true. Right? I could walk around and say I'm a prophet all the time and put in all kinds of predictions and things that never come true, never come to pass. Anybody can listen to me anymore? They're going to laugh every time I say something, right? Impossible for me to deceive at that point, isn't it? Absolutely. So the enemy, manufactures that which is a close enough replica that is believable.
And they want to take, yeah. And then they do, and it's just the subtle change of words. I mean, you go to the back to the Garden of Eden. What we Satan? Few changes in the word of God's word to get them to go bite of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. He does the same with Satan. Does the same with the church to take out the power away from the church because he doesn't want people to know the Lord. He doesn't want people to come to know the Lord and walk in the power that the Lord has for
right.
and for others. And it's just a slight twist of words. And
that's the thing about when Jesus was being tempted, and the word a little bit askew, and then Jesus nails him.
With the truth. The truth. In context, actually.
Yeah.
In context. And it goes back to what you were saying, what comes to mind is, where Jesus goes, maybe I can just turn to John as an example because I don't want to misquote the scripture. As we're talking about changing the word a bit, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to go to John. I guess I'll go, let's see. Wait, in this, says John 8. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. He bore, I don't know if that would be the right word, but bore witness unto Jesus. And there's other points in John. That's the one I just thought of right away because I was just in it last night. But what other... And the Father sent me bear witness. The other thing that bear witness of him was the works that he did. He healed the sick, cast out devils. Raised the dead. He preached the gospel. And he always gave glory to the Father. He pointed people he did these things to glorify the Father and pointed people to the Father. And those were the things that bear witness of him. Like you're saying, if you're a prophet and say you're a prophet and none of these things come to pass, then nobody's gonna believe you. What is there to believe you in? And then, on the other front, like the false prophets that you were speaking about, they came and the false prophets came and would preach a prophecy and it would come to pass, but it pointed people away from the Lord, away from Jesus.
Well, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is truth. I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. He said, what is that? Amongst what that means is they're still judging to justify themselves.
Absolutely.
I judge no man.
And you know that point where he says, I judge no man? I remember Davey telling me the story, and it's probably going to be a little bit miscued a little bit, and Davey can definitely tell it better than I can, about where he was praying. I think he went to go tell his brother something that the Lord had told him to share with them. I mean, it was going to be something that caused him to fall. And what happened was he was praying like the Pharisee was, and he was praying like the Pharisee, you know, Lord, I'm glad you haven't made me like this, and you know, all this. And then the Lord took him up by the back of his, took him up in the air, showed one guy homeless puking on himself, another guy's nicely dressed in a business suit, and he goes, what do you see? You know, I see the one, and then I see the other, and he takes him up further up, to where they're just dots. And he goes, now what do I see? Now what do you see? Hey, I don't see any difference at all. Neither do I between you and your brother. You know, God's not a respecter of persons. I judge no man.
It's kind of interesting. And yet, the next verse, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So.
You know what comes to mind is we just had...
He's going to be in the judgment, the last judgment.
Well, amen.
But, he's like, you people, not one is better than the other to me. That's the judgment he's not making. Because that's an unrighteous judgment. You're all sinners. And that's why I'm here. And you can receive that or not. But that is the truth.
The judgment's going to fall not because of, of his doing. It's actually their own in receiving him or not. That makes any sense.
Well, it's based on their choice. I
mean, that's exactly
judgment on them, and it's not something that Jesus came to do.
No, in fact, he actually made himself, if you read down through this chapter, he's making himself more known. So why? That they are absolutely fully accountable.
Getting serious.
Right. But they're fully accountable. It wasn't that the Lord, at the last day, they couldn't have said, well, we didn't know. Well, no, because he's making it as clear as possible to them that they could turn. If they would, but they wouldn't. But you see some that do. Nicodemus was one. You know, so praise God. But he was making it known to them. He wasn't keeping himself from them. In that sense, he was letting them know.
That's right.
And that was love.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. You know, Murray says, for I am not alone. And that's the same way. And it's an interesting thing. And it's in another verse. You jump it at 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And I was looking at that, and what I was remembering was, remember the Philippians Bible study we just had on Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Where the Lord is at hand. He's as close to you, and how Davey put it was, he's as close to you as he is, as your hand's close to you. Yeah. The same way that the Father was with Jesus is the same way that he will be with us.
Right there. Right there.
I mean, that was just an interesting point I saw. I and the Father that sent
me. That's an awesome point. I just read these things over and over again. You never quite see it the same way each time. It's like would highlight something else.
Amen. And, well, yeah, I mean, and it's amazing that when you do that, you go over it with somebody in Bible study, and it's a lot more revealed to you, and praise God, you know? I mean, at least that's what it works for me.
The other thing is, in all this back and forth with the Pharisees, as he's doing this with the Pharisees, many that are around believe on him. But the Pharisees,
you know, there's
kind of funny, because if knowing who he is and what he's about is believing on him, then they had what it took to be saved. But it doesn't say they received him. Knowing who he is and receiving him are two different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
All these people walking around today in churches, and I know them because I've been around so many of them. They know who he is, but they don't
know him.
They don't know
they don't
him
have
well enough to have it affect the way they are. They haven't changed any at all because of knowing him. It has profited them knowing him. And
they haven't built that relationship that is open unto them.
Right.
Because they're about themselves.
They know who he is. They don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. And it doesn't, they haven't, received of, all that is in Jesus. The power, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, the ability to go out and do the works of God.
But that's because a lot of times it's bad teaching. You know, you see a lot of times where
they've been held accountable because teaching hasn't been true.
Right. And that line of authority they say has gone away, kind of going back to what we're saying.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing that people that actually cry out in the Lord and receive Jesus Christ and receive that forgiveness, they go to a fellowship, and the fellowship's teacher bringing them a corrupt gospel. Oh, now that you received Jesus Christ, now you must do this, do that, and a legalized list of things, and the power of God is not there. And what happens? It destroys their faith. It doesn't build it.
Well, it's not. That's what,
you know,
what they end up, their message ends up being. It's all is totally by grace that you're saved. Grace and faith and our ability to give you all the things that you can do and can't do.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's in the fine print below. It's just not said out there right open.
So here, you can't do this anymore, and you can't do this. You can't listen to rock and roll music anymore, or country bar hopping music anymore. You can't do this. You can't do that. No drums, no musical instruments. Your hair's got to be long if you're a woman, short if you're a man. You got to wear dresses if you're a woman, and you can't wear dresses if you're a man. So you've got no Scottish people in there at all. So that's the way that works. I have knocked myself right off the train.
Praise the Lord. What are you talking about? This, that relationship in verse 12, if you back up, kind of going, talking about being followers of me. As what you were quoting about in Philippians with about Paul.
Yes.
You know, where it is here, then spake Jesus again unto them saying, I am the light. And this is back in 12, just making a point where it travels down through the line of authority and how you see this comes about. You know, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And you go, you know, before I knew the Lord, before I came to know Him, before I went to go follow Him, I was in darkness. I was snared to this flesh, trapped in it, in the bondage of it, in darkness. But He is the light of the world, and He came to set us free from that.
Yeah, no makeup at all, no jewelry. Oh, the lag time on this is really fun.
And, you know, kind of reminds me, you know, where Paul the Apostle says, be ye followers of me. You know why be ye followers of him? It's not because he's so great or he's so worthy or his ways are that. No, it's because he follows after Christ. That's the only reason why he's saying that. If he wasn't following after Christ, he wouldn't have said, be ye followers of me. Yes. Unless he was working for the wrong team. But we know, Paul, that wasn't the case.
Great day.
Well, I didn't figure on going here, Paulie. I just was, that one verse, I thought of to, at the point of what we were talking about. So.
The dialogue that we're looking at, John does a little commentary. He spake these words and many believed on him. Then Jesus said to the Jews, which believed in him, on him, the ones that did receive and believe, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed.
So we're jumping down to John 8:31.
Yeah.
Not just making it known for the hearers.
Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly where you were because you didn't say, but I recognize it as being in this area.
Yeah.
Great day. As, if you continue in my word. Now, it's interesting. What does he mean by that?
Continuing in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what he tells you to do.
Mm-hmm. However, when we use that phrase today, what we're using it in, to mean is in his word. Reading it.
Well, when I
perhaps receiving the word of somebody over you and being in his word that way.
Well,
they didn't necessarily have this. We have this.
Right. Well, they had the Old Testament.
They had the scrolls, but they don't have them in a temple.
Well, I think of Peter. He goes, but we have a much more, you know.
Yeah. I mean, everybody.
I mean, our testimony is one thing, but we have much more. Testimony, and that is the scripture.
So much of what they could receive in that day was either the testimony of the disciples or the testimony of the Pharisees. That's really what it being in his word in that sense was then. But this isn't about being in his word that in that sense. This is about doing it, doing what he says.
Amen. Well, it's kind of...
Which is still something you're going to do at the testimony of the disciples.
It's kind of like, I mean, I can refer to, we know what an instruction manual is. It's like, continue in my instruction manual.
Yeah.
I mean, going about, like, if I had a job to do and my boss lays me out the...
Well, the first thing he nails after this is, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So, in this case, he's talking about the word they've received here. Because this is the truth. And if you continue in this truth, this word will set you free.
Amen. It's just like my boss set out an instruction manual for me for the day of the things that I need to do. You know, it's just like him saying, continue in my instruction manual. Go about doing it like this.
Mm-hmm. And of course, justifying themselves proceeds. And this is really a fun chapter to read because it's loud and there's a lot of yelling going on here. But, I sort of maintain a modicum of decorum. And besides, my voice would not allow it to work too terribly well. But, you know, if you were seeds of Abraham, you'd do the deeds of your father. But you'd do the deeds of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. What are you talking about? D 41, you do the deeds of your father. No problem with that at all. You're right. They said the answer to the answer said it in Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God.
So, yeah, okay. Then you are, you are of your father, the, all right, why do you not, 41, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And it's an interesting thing as, we go to you down. You started up in 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you have loved me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And in that verse where he says, you do the deeds of your father, you know what? I look at Cain. What I think of in this verse is Cain. The reason why I think of Cain is because he offered unto God the ground, the cursed thing. And they do no different. What they're offering them is the cursed thing. How well they can be obedient unto the law.
Yeah.
And they were offering up themselves, which was a cursed thing. The flesh, which was a cursed thing. They're doing the no different than that of Cain.
And he's the, offering them the enemy. Race, the dry eraser.
Exactly.
And they won't take it.
Right. You know, for what the scripture says, for is it impossible to, without faith is impossible to please God, but that's not the one. So they that are in the flesh, it is impossible to please God. Is that correct? Those they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I believe that's it. And you know, Jesus goes down. Jesus said unto them,
they that are in the flesh cannot
please God. That's what it is. I'm getting two of them mixed up. Thank you, Paul.
8:8. Romans 8:8.
Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Look. You have the father's, the same father as mine. You would love me. He's the one that sent me down. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And we hit on about in the garden, taking God's word and twisting it into a lie.
Yeah.
So that they would eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And guess what happened? Death came. Spiritual death.
Cut off.
Do you want me to continue down?
Yeah.
And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God.
See, that's just, he's just nailing them all over the place. He's clearing the temple again. Is that what he's doing? Is running, you know, he's waxing the floor with them, is what he's doing. Laying the truth out there.
Let me continue on.
Making it just as plain as day. What the problem is. Here, go ahead.
And that's where he's not withholding, he's not hiding himself from me. He wasn't giving them a mystery. He was trying, like you said, trying to give them that dry erase marker if they would but receive it. Then answered the Jews and said unto him,
I'm about to erase the handwriting order.
And it says, that's against you. How good is that?
The erase board up there is nailed to the cross.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory.
When you have no standing and no argument, then you call them a name. It's just, you're crazy. When nothing else works, pick up some rocks and start swinging them.
Well, they tried a few times, I think, beforehand, a couple times already, or it may have been an after. Jesus, was that 50? Do you want me to continue on?
When self-justifying doesn't work, then you start calling names, and when that doesn't work, you start picking up rocks and run.
Well, and that's exactly about the way it went down, just as you said. Yeah. They start justifying themselves. Yeah. And then that where he came from, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. The justification. That was back in verse 39.
That's all that we need.
And now they're going, okay, say we not well, you're a devil, you know? I mean, so there's, now there comes the attack, just like you're saying. Jesus answered, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you just do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death.
Oh boy. Now we know that thou hast the devil. I mean, let's face it, that's pretty, you know, out there thing to be saying. You keep my saying, you'll never see death. Well,
you know, you go back, and that's where they're yet in darkness. It's all Jesus is talking spiritual. Jesus is talking about your soul, where that's going to abide at. He's not talking about, he didn't come to save your flesh.
And they didn't even talk about the flesh. Because they can't, they don't see anything spiritual.
And you know, you go back up to verse 50 and it says, and I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus didn't come down to seek his own. Right, Jesus didn't come to go seek his own glory, he went to come glorify the Father. And it's an interesting point that, you know, what Jesus says, I think later on in John, what Jesus says is, he says, now Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. Because he could not glorify the Lord or glorify the Father unless he was first glorified from the Father.
Yeah, that's right.
52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. So once again,
are they greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered,
if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Remember Abraham's bosom? He was very much there.
Yeah.
And his soul was alive. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You know, that's an interesting point right there. Because just with him, you know, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and
he
saw
his dreams.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was the point I was getting to.
Exactly what that means.
Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of
because
the temple.
They understood exactly what he said there. I am. The great I am. He told Moses to say, the great I am has sent you.
And they knew what exactly what he was saying is when they went to go justify themselves and saying, then said they unto him back in 41, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. That's taking it back to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
They knew the scripture, and they knew what they were doing. This wasn't done in ignorance. Paul's was done in ignorance, the Apostle Paul. These guys wasn't ignorant to it.
Paul didn't receive this ministry and testimony from Jesus. He got it out in the wilderness in Galatians. What? 2, 3, somewhere in there. And in Acts 14. Not clear exactly. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it's in those two books.
Yeah. And I mean, when Paul was going
to. When he received the revelation and testimony of Jesus Christ and all of this, knowledge that he had. So he received the correction. When he got knocked off his horse, blinded, knocked off his horse, he said, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah, question mark.
That's like, he didn't reject an attack. He realized that, what had happened to him was a spiritual event.
Right. And that's,
deceived.
And that's where, I mean, that's where I'm contrasting the Pharisees that went to go and kill him.
Yeah, they, knowing had, no who point, they had no point said, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah, knowing who he was.
Yeah.
When Paul went to go persecuting the church, he thought he was doing the right thing for God.
Yeah.
But he didn't know that he was actually fighting against the God that he was wanting to serve.
Right.
And there was a difference that he did in ignorance. These guys are hitting the point where they're not ignorant of this anymore.
And you know, he did have some foundational, the people who held those offices, were occasionally actually hitting the truth. There's Gamaliel in Acts 5, you know, he tells elders, look here, if this is of the Lord, you cannot overthrow it.
Yeah. Can't you find yourself fighting against God?
So, you know, and if it isn't, it's going to go away of its own accord. He understood a truth. It wasn't the whole truth, but he understood a true thing. And he delivered that word. That was a true thing. But, and you know, Paul, the Lord was good to Paul, and he retained that which was true and good, and he replaced all it wasn't. And, you know, that same kind of surgery he can do in everybody. All that corrupt teaching that we've had, all that, you know, false doctrine that we've been fed, he can root that out and replace it with his truth.
Amen. Absolutely.
And a knowledge of him and his ways and, of his deliverance, of his reconciliation with sinners. And, you know, that's what makes, this whole thing worthwhile. That's what makes it all we're doing. It's doable.
Amen.
It's doable. It's not based on our ability. It's based on his. It's not based on what we can do. It's based on what he did.
Amen. Absolutely.
It's about the goodness of our Heavenly Father and the obedience of his Son and the example that he was and the dispenser of all the heavenly gifts and attributes. And the ability to be partakers of it comes through him to the apostles, to us. It's so good. It's such a good story. Why wouldn't you want to tell it over and over, over and over?
I mean, we have that mighty power working in our own lives.
Yeah.
Where it's been manifest to us personally. We have a testimony personally of what Jesus Christ has done. Why wouldn't we want to tell it? And what you'll find is, you know, just as they, as the Pharisees, because they didn't want to have their place taken away from them, they sought to kill them. And what you'll have is you'll have those that receive Jesus. And what you'll have is others that will absolutely go against Jesus. Now they can't kill Jesus because he already died to this in here and was resurrected in power. And now is in heaven.
They could conceivably kill you,
but they could conceivably kill you. And they did that with Stephen, but even those that were killing Stephen, which what was Paul consented unto Stephen's death, was one that actually turned to preaching the gospels unto the Gentiles. Yeah. So, you know, it kind of goes back, it reminds me of talking about this message of the obedience of the Lord and how important that obedience is. And how that can, the fruit of that, we have no idea. The fruit of that, that's why this is a walk by faith, not by sight. I remember I was talking with Steve about, I had no idea that I had any really impact on people around me at my workplace. Really didn't. Until I went to go leave. And, you know, tell them that I was leaving. And some of the things that they had said, it was known to me. That the Lord was doing a work there. And that there was a ministry to people. To those guys. And I go back and I say, praise God.
Your obedience. And not rather a testimony of your incompetence.
I think some of it was.
Or your disobedience. I mean, the Lord is good. He's like, I don't remember all that stuff.
Exactly. I mean, regardless, do I have my struggles and my issues and I've been disobedient and, I've been incompetent?
Struggles are part of the testimony. They weren't a part of that testimony. They're gone.
Amen. And what I'm saying is that's what grace does. It covers all that. Just like you're saying.
Yep.
Just like you're saying.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? We about put a bow on it.
Well, we kind of went all over the place.
Yeah, we sure did. You never can tell. We will give your fingers a workout as you struggling to keep up with us. Oh, man. Well, it's been so far. It's been a great Sunday. We hope you continue to have a great day and a good week. Texas is coming up after us.
Woohoo!
Here in just a couple of minutes on the Eagle Radio Network. And, Lord willing, we'll see you next week.
May God bless everybody.
God bless everybody.